Today I'm telling you a story which I wrote a few years ago, and I've just readapted it for B1 level. It's a story which is, well, it's a love story. It's loosely based on a story by Alain Fournier, who wrote Le Grand Moulin, a French writer about somebody who falls in love with a girl, and then they're parted, and many years later he goes back to try to find her. And it's also a mixture of short story techniques, which I learned from books by the Argentinian writer Jorge Luis Borges. So I'm playing with different techniques of short story writing, symmetry and repetition, those sort of things to make the story more intriguing. Anyway, for my B1 learners of English, there's lots of good language in there. It's all B1 or below, and lots of new B1 words in there. I'm going to bring out a few words, adjectives and adverbs, which I use in different ways, and I thought these words would be useful for you for your writing in the B1 or for the speaking exam. So here we go. Hello and welcome to Practicing English. My name is Mike Bilbrough, and these are podcasts for students of English at B1 or B2 levels. And if you are a B1 level student trying to reach B2 level, then I recommend my book, The Tudor Conspiracy. Come over to practicingenglish.com and you'll see a picture of the front cover. Click on that and it will take you to the page where you can buy the book. The adjectives we're going to look at, and adverbs, as I said, are painful. So an example would be, his knee was painful. These are B1 adjectives. Painful. Ow! It hurts! It's painful. So we can use these words as adverbs just by adding ly. He hit his knee painfully against the desk. Ow! He hit his knee painfully against the desk. The next one is professional. So we could talk about a very professional speech. And then we could use the adverb. He spoke very professionally during the speech. He spoke very professionally. Now, the advantage of using these adverbs makes your texts more interesting by combining adjectives and adverbs together in this way. And it's not difficult, because really you just have to add ly. The next one is curious. They were very curious about the people who lived upstairs. So the meaning of curious here is that you want to know what's happening. You don't know, but you want to know. They were very curious about the people who lived upstairs. And then another meaning of curious, which is also B1, is that something is strange. I had a curious feeling. I was floating in the air. I had a curious feeling. And then we can use curiously. Now, what I've done here is to use it at the beginning of the sentence, so followed by a comma. Curiously, his clothes were very old-fashioned. Curiously, his clothes were very old-fashioned. We could substitute that word curiously for strangely. So that's the adverb of the well-known, but also B1 adjective, strange. Strangely, I wasn't nervous before the exam. Strangely. The next one is the adjective shy, which means timid. Somebody who is often afraid of talking to other people, S-H-Y. She was a very shy girl. And then the adverb would be shyly. Could I have some more ice cream? She asked shyly. She asked shyly. And then there's the common adjective sudden, or suddenly. In fact, suddenly is one which most B1 students learn for their stories. It's a very good adverb to put in to the story to change the speed of the story, make it slower or faster. But we can use it as an adjective as well, sudden. There was a sudden noise. There was a sudden noise. And the adverb then, suddenly the door opened. And my final one is stupid. Okay, so we know that adjective very well, stupid. But stupidly we could use as an adverb in our stories, which means something done which we realize was a silly thing to do. And we can use it as we did curiously or strangely with a comma after it. Stupidly, I agreed to lend him the money. Stupidly, I agreed to lend him the money. Right, well, I think that is enough. I would like you to listen out for those adjectives and adverbs in the story and listen to the context they're used in. I'm going to start the story now. It's a fairly long story. It's called Marie Claire. So here we go. Marie Claire, written for B1 students by M.A. Bilborough. This recording is copyright. Now Paul had found the park, he wasn't certain what to do. In his mind, he wanted to go back to the events of that spring evening. Events that happened many years ago, when he was just 20 years old. Almost 23 years ago. He shouldn't have married a woman just because her name was Marie Claire. In fact, it wasn't even pronounced the same way. It didn't sound French at all. It was just another English name, but it happened somehow. They married. They even had a child together, a son, who was 18 years old now. Then his wife left him for another man. Even now, as he stood at the entrance to the park, those painful months of the divorce came back to him. However, it was not because he missed his wife. He didn't. It was because he realized he missed the real Marie Claire of his younger days. Paul lost his direction after the divorce. He had needed professional psychiatric help and spent many years in and out of hospital. The doctor told Paul that he should find the real Marie Claire again, the girl he had met 23 years ago and who had lived in his thoughts and dreams since then, like a ghost. Perhaps if he found her again, he might be able to rescue himself from the pain that he was suffering from. To clear his mind, he opened the tie in his shirt collar a little, took off his suit jacket and held it over his shoulder, and breathed in the Paris spring air. Paul looked through the iron gate at the cool green park. Curiously, he had found it from its delicious smell. A perfume that Paul remembered so well. Jasmine. He had walked through the streets of Paris, searching and searching, his memory poor after so many years in hospitals. So many pills and tablets, and the Paris streets so changed. Despite asking people, in his excellent French, where the park was, nobody could help him. And then he smelled the jasmine. The park was much smaller than that day 23 years ago. In fact, it was now just a garden. The black iron fence between it and the road hadn't been there then. In fact, Paul couldn't really remember a road there either. The garden had been huge and full of activity, children playing and laughing, families having picnics. Now the coloured flowers and thick green trees around the garden made it look private and not welcoming to strangers. When he pushed the gate, he found that it was locked. He couldn't get in. Then he saw the seat under the tree. It was still there, under an enormous tree, with fresh green grass and a jasmine plant growing around it. The garden was empty of people now, not like that day 23 years ago. Paul turned round so quickly, the metal cups and saucepan hanging from his backpack made a silly sound as they knocked together. The girl was a teenager. She had long black hair, large dark eyes, and a beautiful smile. Her clothes looked smart, neat, and tidy. Paul pushed his long hair back and smiled shyly, embarrassed about his appearance. Too many days sleeping in cheap auberge, he was about to clean his dirty face with the sleeve of his sweatshirt, but stopped himself just in time.
"Sorry, my French is very bad," he said.
"Are you looking for somebody?"
she repeated in perfect English, but with a strong French accent.
"No, I'm just travelling."
Paul lifted his hand and pointed to his backpack behind him.
I saw this garden. Or is it a park? It looked like a good place to rest."
"You're tired, aren't you? You poor thing,"
said the girl. And she walked up to him, coming very close and looked into his eyes. Paul found this behaviour strange, but pleasing at the same time.
"Look,"
she added, and pointed to a seat under a small tree inside the garden. Around this tree, Paul noticed the little white flowers of jasmine, and their perfume filled his nose.
"Let's go and sit there. You can tell me about your adventures."
She took Paul's hand in hers and led him to the garden seat. They sat down, and the girl now took both his hands and looked closely into his face.
"What's your name?"
she asked.
"My name's Paul," said Paul.
He now began to relax. He wanted to allow himself to accept that this way of talking to a complete stranger was the most natural thing in the world.
"What's your name?" asked Paul.
"Marie-Claire,"
answered the girl. Life is like a tune. As life goes on, the tune plays. Sometimes it's louder, and sometimes quieter. Sometimes faster, or slower, but the tune stays the same. Our life is one life with its own tune, different from anybody else's. We might look at each other's lives around us and wish we could have a life like theirs, especially if we're not happy with our own. But our own life tune keeps playing. However, what happened to Paul was that the tune of his life suddenly changed, as it did Paul change too. Because the only way to have a new life is to be a different person. Paul was born again that day and became somebody else. He and Marie-Claire talked all that afternoon about themselves, first about what they had been, and then, because the past didn't seem very important anymore, they talked about their hopes for the future. It was curious, but Paul and Marie-Claire's hopes seemed to be similar.
Are you hungry?
Marie-Claire asked.
I am.
Yes, I am too, replied Paul.
There's a place over there that sells crepe. Shall we get some?
Great idea, said Paul. I'll go if you like.
Marvellous, said Marie-Claire. If you don't mind, Paul, I'll wait here and keep our place on this seat. If not, somebody might take it.
That's fine, Marie-Claire, he said, and he loved pronouncing her name in a French accent. Marie-Claire. I'll be right back. He stood up and then looked at his backpack on the seat.
Don't worry, said Marie-Claire. You can leave it here. I'll look after it.
And she smiled. Then Paul did something that one day, a long time in the future, he would regret. He had made a promise to himself that he would never leave his backpack anywhere. It contained his passport and his credit card. Without those documents, his travelling around France would be over. Losing his passport would bring him lots of problems when he tried to get back to the UK. He picked up the backpack and put it on.
I think I should take it, just in case, he said.
Marie-Claire seemed disappointed.
Oh, okay,
she said quietly.
Whatever you think is best.
What flavour crepe would you like? Paul asked.
Chocolate flavour, please. And I like a coffee too,
she answered.
The crepe store was only about 50 or 60 metres away, but when Paul reached it, there were quite a few people waiting in a queue. Almost 15 minutes had passed by the time he had bought two hot crepes, wrapped up, and two coffees in paper cups. Before he arrived back at his seat, it was clear Marie-Claire had gone. The seat was empty. Paul looked around, but he could see nobody. She'd gone, and he didn't know why. The tune of Paul's life had changed back to the old one, the same one as always. He never saw her again.
Monsieur, vous cherchez quelqu'un?
Paul turned around so quickly he dropped his jacket he was holding. The girl was a teenager. She had long black hair, large dark eyes, and a beautiful smile. Paul's heart was beating fast. He couldn't understand what was happening. She looked like Marie Claire, or at least very similar. Stupidly, Paul said, "Vous êtes Marie Claire?" The girl had heard his English accent and replied in very good English.
"No, I'm not. That's funny you should ask. My mother was Marie Claire."
"Your mother?" said Paul quietly. Then he added, "I met your mother once. Where is she?"
"My mother died. She was killed in a car accident 7 years ago."
And as Paul's face suddenly looked very depressed, the girl added,
"I'm sorry."
"But you and your mother, you both look alike," said Paul.
"May I ask you a question?"
said the girl. "Yes, of course."
"Are you Paul?"
"Yes, yes I am, but how would you know?"
"My mother told me a story one day,"
said the girl.
"She met a boy with a backpack in this garden. Well, it was bigger then. A park, really. Over 20 years ago. An English boy. She fell in love with him immediately. They both talked all that afternoon. He fell in love with her too. Then he went to buy some crepe in a stall in the park, but he never came back. She waited for over 2 hours, but he never came."
"What? That's not true," cried Paul. "I came back a few minutes later. Marie Claire disappeared." He turned towards the gate. I would show you what happened, but I can't get in. This gate's locked."
"I have the key,"
said the girl.
"The park closed when they built this road, but now it's a private garden for the people who live in these houses here. We all have a key."
"You mean your mother lived here?" asked Paul, now quite calm again.
"Yes, she lived here as a child, and when she married my father, they continued to live in the same house."
"She didn't tell me she lived just there. If I'd known, if only I'd known," said Paul sadly. The girl opened the iron gate with her key and pushed it open. She walked in, and Paul followed. They soon reached the seat, the same seat he had sat on with Marie Claire all those years ago.
"We were sitting here, talking. I got up. I picked up my backpack, and I walked over to that stall. Look, it's still there." He pointed.
"Oh, I see,"
said the girl.
"I didn't know it was a crepe stall. It's not used now. It's just a stone building. It's always been there."
The girl followed Paul as he walked to the stall. "Of course it was different then," said Paul. "This place was full of people. Now there's nobody here. I came over to the stall. I had to wait to be served. And then I went back to the seat. Then
Paul saw something out of the corner of his eye.
"What's that?" he asked. There was another seat, exactly the same as the first. It was on the opposite side of the garden. Paul looked and couldn't believe his eyes. Another seat in the opposite direction from the first, also with a tree behind it and jasmine growing around the tree. The girl looked, and she understood.
You went back to the wrong seat, didn't you? It's not so strange that there are two seats exactly the same. French gardens are often symmetrical, not like English gardens.
Oh, no. Yes, you're right. There were a lot of people in the park. I suppose I got confused.
Then a thought came to him.
If I'd left my backpack, like your mother asked me, I'd have searched the whole park. I would have found the backpack and your mother on the other seat. But I just thought she'd gone. I thought perhaps she wasn't interested in me. At least I thought that then. I think later I felt differently. Later I knew there'd been a mistake. Now I understand what really happened.
Paul turned to the girl and looked into her dark eyes.
So, she married, did she? Your father must be very sad.
Strangely, the girl smiled.
My father left us when I was very little. He thought my mother was mad. She told me once she had always been in love with you.
I'm sure that's not true, said Paul.
Really?
Said the girl.
It's not such a crazy idea. What are you doing here if you are not still in love with my mother?
But the house, you said you live here. You can't be more than 17. I can't imagine you live alone.
I don't. I live with my aunt and uncle. They received my mother's house after her death.
What's your name? Said Paul suddenly.
I think you could guess. My name's Pauline. My mother gave me that name.
Paul then felt the tune in his head again. The same tune as that afternoon with Marie-Claire. It was quiet and far away, but he could just hear it somewhere deep inside. A crazy thought came into his mind.
You know, my son is in Paris too. He came with me on this trip. He's visiting the Louvre this afternoon. He's just started university. You'd like him.
Pauline smiled again.
I'll talk to my aunt and uncle this evening. Why don't you give me your mobile phone number? I'll try to persuade them to invite you both to our house tomorrow. I could make some crepe.
And that's the end of the story. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you heard the different adjectives and adverbs I mentioned. Goodbye for now.